Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew 26, 6-16, 31-35, 47-50, 69-75, verses 6-16. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Verses 31-35. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Verses 47-50. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "This one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Verses 69-75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends. I hope everyone is encouraged through the sermon series and the Bible study on Matthew. Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer as we get ready for the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you before your throne of grace. Please give us open ears and quiet hearts to hear your message this morning. Help us to keep our minds focused on you. May your Holy Spirit guide me as I speak your truth and humble the hearts that are listening. May you help us to respond to you in word and deed. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was young, my 2 older brothers and I would get pocket money of about 30 cents for school recess. That's how old I was. We could use it to buy snacks or drinks like seng bao, do you know, ice pops, and kacang puteh, wafer biscuits, and also drinks like soya bean drink, chin chow drink, and then I think pineapple drink. Or food like mee siam, Indian rojak, mee rebus, I think dry mee, yeah, all sorts. However, there was an instance when I found out that my second brother would save all his pocket money instead of spending it during recess. He would pack bread from home and just drink tap water from the canteen during recess. He was around 8 or 9 years old. Day after day, the coins went into a glass jar, something like that. Do you all recognize? I think the older folks are. Okay, it started on the bottom of the jar. My eldest brother and I would look at him and look at the empty jar. Oh my, it would take a long, long time. Remember, 30 cents back then. Well, my second brother had a goal. He wasn't looking at the coins of just 30 cents. But slowly we saw that the coins piling more and more inside the glass jar. And finally, the glass jar was filled up with coins. One day, my second brother announced to my cousin, to my eldest brother and me, that he was going to buy a bicycle. By that time, he had saved about $80. But my mother and my grandmother were against the idea. They didn't want him to spend all the savings on a bicycle because it was too dangerous for a young child back then to ride a bicycle. Then one day, my second brother took the glass jar filled with coins and sneaked out of the house. He went to a bicycle shop. Word got around, my mother and my grandmother and even my uncle found out. Actually, we told on him. We both told him. So my cousin and my eldest brother and I were sent to find him. The shop was about 5 to 10 minutes away from our house. When we found him, we warned him that he was not allowed to buy the bicycle and that he would get into trouble if he really spent the money to buy the bicycle. So he returned home reluctantly and without buying the bicycle. And I asked him this, so he said he cried all the way home. So he was visibly upset that we told on him. My uncle came to know of his intention and then made him an offer. He said, pointing to the glass jar, "If you don't buy the bicycle, you let me keep the money, all right? You can earn interest from what you save." My second brother had $80. My uncle was offering him interest for that $80. That would make him $80 richer, more than $80 richer. My second brother thought hard, real hard, but in the end, he refused adamantly. He still wanted the bicycle. So what was the bicycle worth to my brother? It was worth more than the interest that he could have earned from my uncle. Why? Because the value of the bicycle is not simply about the dollars. It is worth much to him that he was willing to sacrifice his recess for it, not having snacks, not having food, not having the special drink at the canteen for months. Okay, something is worth what we are willing to give up, to pay, and sacrifice for it. Today, we look at three characters in Matthew 26. We will ask a simple yet profound question. What was Jesus worth to them? Their response is measured not by their words, but by what they are willing to give up, trade, and endure for Jesus. Last Sunday, Pastor Darrell urged us to examine our faithfulness and preparation for Christ's return. Perhaps today, you could ponder the question, what is Jesus worth to you? Matthew 26 is one of the most emotional chapters in the Gospel. It is part of the Passion narratives. Within a single chapter, we witness deep worship, terrible betrayal, painful failure, the institution of the Lord's Supper, Gethsemane, the arrest of Jesus and his trial before the religious leaders. Today, I wish to highlight three very different pictures of people who encounter Jesus. There is a woman with the alabaster jar. There is Judas with 30 pieces of silver. And there's Peter with three denials. Three people, but three very different responses on what is Jesus worth to them. So let's begin with the woman. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 7 says, "Now when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of a very expensive ointment, and she poured on his head as he reclined the table." All the four Gospels have a story of a woman anointing Jesus. Matthew, Mark, John all place it at Bethany in the context of the Passion. Though John differs from the others in detail, including the date, he places it before the entry to Jerusalem. Luke, however, happened in Galilee at a Pharisee's house. It involves a sinner and Jesus' teaching on forgiveness and love. In Matthew, she is the unnamed woman. In John, she was Mary. Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. The unnamed woman came carrying an alabaster flask filled with expensive ointment or perfume. The very expensive ointment is identified by Mark and John as nard. Okay, that is spikenard, an extremely expensive luxury fragrant anointing oil used especially for anointing the dead. So it's not uncommon for guests back then at the banquet to be anointed, but the use of such an expensive ointment was an act of extravagant devotion. The ointment used on Jesus was worth about a year's wages. According to the Gospel of John, who identified the value as about 300 denarii. Many years ago, someone gifted me with an expensive bottle of almond shower oil. It was very fragrant, and I thought I might get it for myself when I finished the bottle. So I went to the shopping mall to check it out and saw the price tag. Wow, it's so expensive. So I didn't buy it. So I went home, and it took me a long time to finish the gifted bottle because it's too expensive. I literally used a 50 cent coin size amount of shower oil for shower each time. And I only use it occasionally. It's because it's too luxurious and expensive for me to buy another bottle. So can you imagine the woman spending, instead of saving an entire year's salary, by pouring all the precious and expensive fragrant oil on Jesus? The whole flask, the whole bottle. And she broke the alabaster jar. She held nothing back. She poured all upon Jesus. So that is exactly what the unnamed woman did. What was Jesus worth to her? She poured out her best to Jesus. The aroma filled the room. However, the disciples immediately criticized her. Why this waste? So why this waste? It looked irresponsible. The perfume could have been sold. The money could have been given away and feed the poor. The disciples see it as a waste. They see it through the lens of cost. The unnamed woman see it through the lens of love. So what was Jesus' reply? "Don't trouble the woman, for she has done a beautiful thing to me." What the disciple considered a waste was a beautiful and lovely gesture to Jesus. Jesus sees her act of pouring the expensive perfume as an act of love. Here, the unnamed woman understood something that the disciples still struggle to grasp. The disciple didn't understand the hour. They had not listened when Jesus described his approaching death. They thought that this day was the same as another. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 2 says, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Jesus was about to die. She understood what he was about to do and loved him for it. She knew because she listened. So she anointed Jesus before his burial. Jesus said, she did it to prepare me for burial. Her worship was timely. She gave her all. She poured out her best to Jesus while she still had opportunity. The custom said that the executed criminal could not expect a proper burial with a proper anointing. The unnamed woman had saved up for this hour, and now she anointed Jesus in advance for his burial. Matthew chapter 26, verse 13, Jesus said, even promised, wherever this gospel is proclaimed, is preached, what she has done will also be told, just like now. To the unnamed woman, it was simply a heart of extravagant devotion. To the unnamed woman, no sacrifice was too great because her love for Jesus outweighed the cost. So was it worth it? Was Jesus worth the entire year's wages poured out in a single act of devotion? It was worth a year's salary, a costly offering, an uncalculated generosity, a beautiful and extravagant one. That tells us that Jesus is worth it. The unnamed woman poured out her best to Jesus because to her, Jesus is worth it. What is your alabaster jar? What are you willing to pour out for Jesus? Sometimes you say Jesus is first, but our lives reveal that something else is more valuable. When Jesus is truly valuable to us, sacrifice does not feel like a waste. So what precious thing are you still holding back from Jesus? What is your best that you're holding back from him? What is your best, or what is your precious gift that you can give to Jesus? Is it your time? Is it your ambitions? Is it your comfort? Is it your career? Is it your money? Is it your plans, your future? The question is not how expensive our gift to Jesus is. The question is whether Jesus is worth everything for you to pour out your best to him. So what is your alabaster jar? And now we move to the second character with a different response to Jesus. Earlier, we saw the unnamed woman came to Jesus and pour out her best to him. But just a few verses later, Matthew introduces Judas. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 to 16 says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they pay him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Verse 47 says, "While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him.' And he came up to Jesus at once and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, 'Friend, do what you came to do.' Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Judas asked the chief priest, 'What will you give me if I deliver over to you?'" That is, what he says is, what can I gain from betraying Jesus? Who was Judas Iscariot? Judas was one of the 12. He had followed Jesus. He had heard Jesus teach. He had seen Jesus perform miracles. He had walked with Jesus. He had eaten with Jesus. He had witnessed Jesus' ministry up close. He was part of Jesus' inner circle. But yet, after seeing and experiencing all these things, Judas reached a point where he was willing to trade Jesus away. Next slide. Next. Judas had concluded that it was his own best interest to disassociate himself from Jesus. So what motivated Jesus? What motivated Judas to betray Jesus? One possibility is greed. Matthew chapter 26 says, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you? 30 pieces of silver." In the book of John, John tells us that Judas kept their common purse. He used to take what was put into it. In John chapter 12, verse 6, John described Judas as a thief. Judas has stolen from his fellow disciples. And now we see in Matthew that he hoped to get more money for betraying Jesus. He sought out the priests and bargained for 30 pieces of silver. After that, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Well, perhaps Judas had become disillusioned with Jesus. Perhaps Jesus he encountered was not the Messiah he expected. Jesus was speaking about suffering, rejection, and death. Instead of the triumphant kingdom Judas may have expected, Jesus was heading towards the cross. Perhaps Judas had reached a point when following Jesus no longer seemed to benefit him. So he said, "It's time to get out." And that is where Judas weighed his trade-off. Jesus was no longer worth the cost of following, and thus Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver coins. So what was Jesus worth to Judas? 30 pieces of silver. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, 30 pieces of silver was the compensation associated with the death of a slave. And Matthew's reference also echoes Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 to 13, where 30 pieces of silver are given as the wages of the rejected shepherd. "Then I said to them, 'If it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them.' And they weigh out as my wages, 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the porter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them.' So I took the pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the porter." Here in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 to 13, God's faithful shepherd rescued Israel from evil shepherds, and they pay him 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. The same sum is way out as the low wages of the rejected shepherd, who was Messiah figure. Jesus, the true shepherd, the Messiah, is being valued as the price of a slave. So Judas sold Jesus for the price of a slave. He traded Jesus off for 30 pieces of silver. Judas traded Jesus for money. He traded his relationship with the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. He traded spiritual loyalty for short-term monetary gain. He traded eternal allegiance for temporary gain. He traded the eternal for the earthly. Judas seeks what he can gain from Jesus. Thus, he traded Jesus for money. The unnamed woman asked, "What can I give to Jesus?" Because Jesus was worth everything to her, she poured out her best for him. What about us? Each of us must ask a question, ask the same question. What value do we place on Jesus? What is Jesus worth to you? Is he worth our time, our priorities, our ambitions, our comfort, and our devotion? What does the way we live reveal about the value we place on him? Is Jesus worth the cost of following him? Do we give him up for temporary earthly treasures or gain? What are our trade-offs? What would you trade Jesus for? Your life, your career, your study, your money, your relationship, your reputation, your comfort? So when following Jesus costs us something, what do you choose? When obedience costs our comfort, what do you choose? When faithfulness costs us money, reputation, opportunity, even relationship, what do we choose? When our desire conflicts God's will, what do we choose? Is Jesus worth more than everything this world can offer? The cost of following, later the slide. The cost of following Christ may be real, but the reward of Christ is greater. The temporary benefits of the world cannot compare with eternal life with Christ. So we need to weigh our trade-offs carefully. Is following the world better than following Christ? So what are we willing to give up for Jesus? May we never reach the point where we value what the world can give us more than the one who gave himself for us. What is Jesus worth to you? Next, we have Peter. Who is Peter? Peter, or Simon Peter, also known as Cephas. Peter was part of the inner circle of the 12 disciples. He was an outspoken person, outspoken disciple, a zealous disciple. Jesus affirmed Simon as Peter, the rock, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 to 19, promising that Peter will be instrumental in establishing Jesus' church. So Peter loved Jesus. Earlier in the chapter, Peter confidently declares that he will never abandon Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 to 35, Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Although Peter proclaimed and professed that he will never abandon Jesus, Jesus knows that Peter is not as strong as he thinks. Jesus tells Peter that before the rooster crows, Peter will deny him three times. So Jesus said to him in verse 34, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter says in verse 35, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." But the night came, Jesus was arrested. Peter followed from a distance. And a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about." Another servant said to the bystander, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." Peter denied with an oath, "I do not know this man." A little while later, the bystander said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Peter evoked a curse on himself and swore, "I don't know the man." Three times, three denials. Why did Peter tremble under pressure that he doesn't know Jesus, even to the extent of putting a curse upon himself and swear that he didn't know Jesus? He saved his own skin out of fear of being associated with Jesus. When he was under pressure of the moment, Peter allowed his loyalty to Jesus to be compromised. But Peter was not a betrayer like Judas. Although he confidently told Jesus that he would not fall away, he would not deny Jesus, yet he could not proclaim his association to Jesus when he was under pressure. He denied his faith in Jesus out of fear. He rather saved his own skin than proclaim his allegiance to Jesus. And so he denied him. He took the easy way out. All of us need to ask a similar question. What will it cost you to be associated with Jesus? What is your cost of following Jesus? Do you profess your faith in Jesus despite the pressures at home, at work, or in the world? Is Jesus worth it for you to stand up for your faith? Is Jesus worth the cost for you? Or do you respond in fear when things are heated up? When my cousin from my sixth uncle's family became one of the first Christians in my Ng family, it caused a big hoo-ha, that means a big disturbance in the whole family clan. My sixth uncle wanted all his sons, those who started to go to church, to kneel at the ancestors' altar and to renounce their faith in Jesus. That is, they will not follow Jesus, but pledge their allegiance to the ancestor, to the gods of the ancestor, the gods of the Ng family, and not to bring shame to the clan. All my male cousins from my sixth uncle's family knelt before the ancestor altar and renounced their faith in Christ, one by one. Except for one. He looked at his father and said, "You could force me to kneel. You could force me to take the joysticks. You could even force me to utter out words to deny my faith. But my heart will still profess and proclaim faith to Jesus." My sixth uncle turned and walked away. To this day, my cousin who proclaimed his faith without fear is still a Christian and a pastor of a church. What will it cost you to be associated with Jesus? Peter really wanted to follow Jesus. Peter, who boasted that he will never forsake the Lord, even if everyone else did. But when following Jesus became dangerous, Peter's fear became greater than courage. He loved Jesus, but denied Jesus 3 times that he even knew the Lord. So what is Jesus worth to Peter? Peter loves Jesus, but when under pressure, he chooses self-preservation. What is Jesus worth to you? What are you willing to do when faith in Christ costs you? Is Jesus worth the cost of following him when we are under pressure? Some of us are afraid to be identified with Jesus when we are under pressure. We might not face great persecution following Christ, but perhaps when you face with times of ridicule in the family, at work, or in the world, among your colleagues, our faith in Christ does cost us something, but Jesus is worth it. So let's proclaim our faith in Christ without fear, because the cost of not following Christ is far greater than the cost of following Christ. Look at Judas, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver coins. Although Judas was seized with remorse, but there was no repentance as he sought to end his life instead of seeking Christ. Peter failed Jesus by denying Jesus 3 times. But when he realized what he had done, he went out and wept bitterly. The Spirit pierced his heart, and he repented. Peter sinned from weakness, and Christ restored him and commanded him 3 times to care for his sheep. What is Jesus worth? What value do we place on him? The woman, Judas, and Peter each answer that question through their action, and we answer it too by the choices that we make. Yet, before we end, let us consider a more profound question. We have spent the morning asking, what is Jesus worth to you? But now let us ask, what are your worth to Jesus? For the answer to the question is not found in what we have done for Christ, but in what Christ was willing to do for us. Your worth to Jesus cannot be measured by your own merit, but by the price Jesus paid on the cross, his life, his suffering, and death to redeem you. When the unnamed woman poured out her best to Jesus, Jesus poured everything for her and also you and me. When Judas counted the cost of Jesus by the 30 pieces of silver coin, Jesus counted the cost of the cross for you and me. When Peter denied Jesus, Jesus was still willing to go toward the cross for him. Jesus knew the cost of the cross, but he still went ahead, because we are worth it to him. Jesus is worth everything to us because he gave himself for you and I. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 says, he emptied himself, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus knew the betrayer. Jesus knew about the deniers. Jesus knew about the rejection. Jesus knew about the nails, about the cross. Yet he was willing to walk the path of suffering and sacrifice. He endured because we are all worth it to him. So let us ask ourselves, what are you willing to pour out for Jesus? What are you willing to give to him? What would you trade Jesus for? What competes with him for first place in your life? So carefully weigh your trade-offs. Be mindful of the things that you place above Christ, whether they are your comfort, ambitions, relationship, reputation, or possession. When following Jesus become costly, is he still worthy to follow? What is Jesus worth to you? When you truly grasp what Jesus has done for you, how can he be worth anything less than everything? Perhaps we have been asking the wrong question. Instead of asking what is Jesus worth to you, perhaps ask this question: what did Jesus give for me? He sacrificed for you. He bore the cross for you. Therefore, may we learn to surrender our all to Jesus, not out of obligation, but out of gratitude and love, because he's worth our everything. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you and know that you have paid a huge price for us because we are worth it. May we learn to surrender our all and pour our best to you because you are worth it. May we humbly come and know that we will not place anything above Jesus, because the trade-off of giving up Jesus is not worth it. May we proclaim our faith in you with confidence, and not to be fearful to count the cost of following you, because you are worth it. Lord Jesus, you are worth everything because you gave yourself for us. May we surrender our all to you, because Jesus, you are worth it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.